Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/techstuff.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor at How Stuff Works. Sitting next to me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
It's good to see you all, except we can't see you.
And you can't see us.
But, you know, there's always that other medium.
Yes.
On which we're not. But I think the public is familiar with the...
This is as smooth as it gets, Paulette.
I know. I'm just tripping all over.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to just take over from here.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to talk about televisions, HDTVs, flat panels. Specifically, we're going to talk about LCDs versus plasma displays. And if you're like me, you know, if you've ever gone into an electronics store and you see that huge wall of televisions, you may wonder, like, all right, well, I see there's some of them are plasma, some of them are LCD. What's the difference? Does it make a difference? And what's the best choice for me?
And which one can I afford and can have installed in my house later this afternoon?
Which one's going to allow me to have the largest possible TV for the least amount of money? That's usually the way I go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're alone.
No, I think that's pretty common. But of course, there are other things to take into consideration. Like, bigger is not always better. For one thing, you want to make sure you have the best picture quality, and you want to, you know, it also depends on what kind of stuff you like to watch on television, because some displays are better at showing certain kinds of action than others.
Well, I guess then it comes down to what kind of technology will do that for you. And, you know, most of us grew up with CRTs, the cathode ray tube.
Right.
Those are the bigger TVs that certainly not flat panel. But,
right,
you know, they had a pretty good picture because they were using an electron gun to illuminate phosphors on the back of the TV screen. And that produced a really clear picture.
And in fact, there are some technophiles who would argue that they still provide the best picture, that the picture from one of those sets, like an HDTV set that's, that uses that technology, is actually superior to plasma or LCD.
But they don't really make a whole lot of HD cathode ray tube sets. I mean,
no,
they're giant.
They take up
a lot of space.
Exactly. And that's part of the issue here, is that once people started seeing these flat panel displays, you know, they're really sexy and sleek. And, you know, you can just imagine having this really kind of high tech looking entertainment center with this as the centerpiece. That's got a very, you know, enticing appeal to it. And yeah, you might be able to get a better picture on a larger machine, but you know, you kind of balance it all out. Like, well, what's more important to me? Is it more important to have the really sleek machine that still looks amazing, or to have the absolute best visual performance? And I think a lot of people, you know, they tend to go to the flat panel. For one thing, it's been marketed as like the top of the line in displays. So it's part of that has to do with marketing, but I mean, you can't underestimate the appeal of that thin wall-mounted, you know, display.
That's true. That's true. Well, there have been a lot of different technologies that people have used to create the thinner or even flat panel displays. I mean, there are, you know, OLEDs, the organic light-emitting diodes. There are, you know, the DLP, LCOS, you know, a bunch of stuff. But it really comes down to, well, at least for the most part, plasma versus LCD.
Right. Yeah, I think OLEDs will probably be something we'll see more of in the future. But right now, the technology is still pretty new. So the sets that are out there are very small, like around 11 inches is pretty much it. And they're very, very expensive.
But they're also wafer thin.
And
they're super duper thin.
They're wafer thin.
I knew you were going to do that.
Wafer thin, and they are beautiful, let me tell you. And you could even make them so that they're flexible. Yeah, you could bend them around things. If I mean, granted, you know, you have to build that into it. It's not like every set's going to bend around everything. But it's really cool technology, but it's still brand new, comparatively speaking. And so it's for most of us prohibitively expensive. So LCDs and plasma, let's get down to the brass tacks, as it were.
All right, then.
So let's talk a little bit about the technologies behind these. I'm just going to do kind of a quick high-level thing here.
Okie dokie.
Chime in whenever you like.
All right.
So liquid crystal displays uses this stuff called liquid crystals. It acts kind of like a liquid, kind of like a solid. And it's essentially two glass plates with a layer of these liquid crystals in between. And by applying electricity to this layer, that's what you allow light through, to create the pictures. And so these televisions are backlit. There's a light source behind this layer of liquid crystals that provides all the light you see on the television. Plasma displays use an ionized gas. That's what plasma is. It's a gas that can conduct electricity. And it lights up only when there are, when there's something to show on the screen. So there's no backlight there. It's just, electricity activating this gas to create light. So, you don't have a constant backlight like you do with LCDs. And that becomes important in a minute.
Yeah. The neat thing about the plasma is that, when you introduce some free, atomic particles into these plasma atoms, they basically excite the different atoms by replacing electrons, and makes them bounce around. And when they do that, they give off light. So it's sort of an atomic reaction.
Yeah, you're talking about actually subatomic, really, because you're talking about electrons and photons here. This is quantum stuff.
Ooh.
You're watching quantum TV. It's pretty awesome.
I really want to make a quantum leap joke, but
okay, well,
I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think that's a bit dated anyway.
True.
So anyway, we mentioned the backlight for LCDs. Now, that's one of the big differences between the LCD displays and the plasma displays. This can affect something that is called contrast ratio. If you ever start shopping for TVs, especially flat panels and HD TVs, you'll likely run into a lot of a talk about contrast ratios. And, well, what is a contrast ratio? It's the difference between essentially the whitest whites and the blackest blacks that display can show. So the bigger that number, like say it's 1,000 to 1, the bigger that number is, the more colors it can show, the better the blacks are going to be, the better the contrast is. So a 50,000 to 1 is a much better contrast ratio. And in general, plasma screens show blacks better than LCDs. And that's because, that, like we said, there's no backlight on a plasma. So if you want to watch a lot of movies, for example, a lot of really like kind of, you know, dark, grim movie type things, let's say you want to watch The Dark Knight, there are a lot of blacks in that movie. You know, you get like the black of the night, you get the black of the Batman costume, you get the black of the car, all of these things.
Varying degrees of black.
Exactly. Yeah. It goes
and
from,
if you're going to see the difference between them,
it's sort of a pastel black.
Contrast. So,
yeah, for you Spinal Tap fans out there, all it's right. A pastel black. But, if you have a screen that can show a very good contrast ratio, a very wide contrast ratio, you'll be able to see all that clearly. They're not going to blend into one another. It's not going to look blocky or anything like that. So plasma screens are really good at that. LCDs are getting better, but traditionally they were seen as not being very good as far as the contrast ratio goes.
But that's changing.
Yeah.
That's changing. There are a lot of improvements in that field.
Right. There are other things that traditionally were different between plasma and LCD that are increasingly becoming non-factors because the improvements in the technology have reached a point where it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference. Now, if you look at a lot of people's top television lists, I think you'll probably see more plasmas than LCDs even now, because that's the general consensus is that they show more vibrant colors and the contrast is better.
You can have larger sets.
There's not really a problem with blurring with fast action. Some of the older LCDs had a problem with that, where if something was moving across the screen very, very quickly, you could get a blurring effect. So if you were watching something that had a lot of fast action in it, like, you know, most sports, then you would get this kind of blurring effect, especially at high definitions. Plasma didn't have that problem. But now again, with LCDs, you know, you're starting to see LCDs with like incredible refresh rates, which is how many times, the television refreshes the picture that's on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their 120 hertz is not unheard of. And that means it's refreshing at a rate of like 120 times a second. It's really, really fast. And there are even faster ones coming out, that I saw at CES, which were 240 hertz. So.
That's 4 times a second then.
Yeah. So wow. 240 times a second.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
not four sorry. Times a second. You're sorry. Thinking you're dividing by minutes.
Yes. Sorry.
240 times a second. So that's so fast. I mean, we can kind of detect around like film, I think, is what, like 24 frames per second, something like that. So this is 10 times that. The idea here being that it makes smoother transitions. You don't see the blurring effect with really fast motions.
Right.
But, still, plasma kind of holds the advantage there, but it's not a really discernible one unless you're paying incredibly close attention.
And then there's the power consumption issue.
Yes.
Because LCDs are traditionally considered to be the more energy efficient technology.
Yes. In general, they are.
But not as much anymore.
Not as much anymore.
I remember a few years ago that some communities were starting to ban the sale of new plasma televisions because they used so much energy.
Right. And I can talk a little bit about why that is.
Okay.
The main reason is that you're having to essentially shoot electricity to excite these
right.
atoms, you mm-hmm. know, to in order to give off light. Well, even when you turn that television off, the electricity is still draining. You know, vampire power is what a lot of people call it.
Sure. Because it has to stay ready, you know,
exactly.
for the next
yeah.
time you turn it on. People don't want to wait for it to warm up.
Exactly.
So it sits That's there and sucks down electricity even when it's not on.
Mm-hmm. And so you get a lot more draining, when the device is turned off than you would with an LCD screen. And LCDs also have to warm up. They just don't have as long a warm up time as plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about long warm up times, we're talking about a matter of seconds, but we've become so impatient as consumers that we expect when we hit that power button, we expect that screen to come on pretty darn quick.
Right.
So, but here I can give you one example of a time when a plasma screen will pull less electricity than an LCD.
Okay.
If you're watching something that's perfectly black.
Oh.
Because the LCD has a backlight and
Good
it will
point.
Always be lit.
Good point.
And
so
the plasma doesn't.
So if you watch nothing but if you watch nothing but The Dark Knight.
Right. Or Spinal Tap.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, something like that. Then yeah, you're gonna pull less power with your plasma display. But in general, yes, it's gonna consume more power. Now, a lot of companies have developed power-saving techniques to reduce that. In fact, it's become more and more important. I saw a lot of that at CES as well. They had a lot of different companies hooking up televisions to electronic meters, telling you how much energy it was pulling at any particular time. Mm-hmm. And they would line up previous models, like, here's the set we released in 2005 and 2006, you know, all the way up to 2009, and then maybe even like prototype models for future ones.
Right.
And you could see that the energy consumption peaked sometime around 2007 or so, and then dramatically began to drop, because that's when everyone started getting more environmentally conscious, and also mm-hmm. just an idea of conserving power to save money.
Right, right.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so that is also changing.
So it seems like the battle between plasma and LCD is almost becoming a moot point. It's sort of a pick the set that's best for you, because in general, they're all going to be about the same level of energy efficient. They're all going to show pretty much the same colors.
Right.
Of course, it's always good to have a professional calibrate the TV, because looking at it in the showroom, well, it may or may not be the kind of thing. It's not going to look the same in your house when you actually get it home.
It's been calibrated specifically for that store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's important to calibrate it either by a professional, or if you know what you're doing, you can do it yourself.
Yeah, there's some televisions that actually have calibration software installed, so that it uses light sensors to detect how much light is in your room, mm-hmm. and then will calibrate the contrast and brightness and everything on its own, so that way you get the what presumably would be the best picture for your situation. I can talk about a couple of other minor things.
Okay.
Plasma screens, they tend to have a glassy display, so mm-hmm. It's very reflective. So in general, it's better to use a plasma display in a room that has, you know, low lighting. So if you have a lot of bright lights, plasmas tend to be really reflective. You may not be able to see what's on the screen very well.
Right.
LCD might be better in that case, because most of those have a non-reflective or matte style finish mm-hmm. on their on the front display.
So better for your man cave is plasma.
Right, which is exactly what I have. I mean, I turn all the lights off. I don't have a plasma display, but I've got a man cave. I turn off all the lights when I watch. I've actually got a rear projection TV, so I've got one of those monsters. If you're going to watch in a dark room, plasma is a good choice. I mean, you're going to get a great picture. And actually, the funny thing is, plasma is still a little less expensive than a comparable LCD if you're looking at the big, big screens.
Right.
You know, on the smaller end, price is pretty much negligible. Mm-hmm. But if I'm talking about, like, if you're looking at 63 inches, like a monster TV, plasma tends to be a little less expensive than LCD.
Right.
And also, they do get bigger. You can get the really big monster TVs in plasma. Actually, I don't even know if you can find an LCD in 63 inch. You might have to drop down to 55. But
Well, you know, if you're done talking about plasma and LCD,
wow,
I do have a trump card.
Do you?
Yes.
Hit me with it.
I want to remind you of your pet favorite TV.
Are you talking about the Mitsubishi LaserView?
Yes, I am. And you know, the manufacturer says that it takes one third the power of a plasma TV and has twice the color. So, but it does it with lasers, which
it
means...
It doesn't tell you that it just has twice the yellow.
Twice the yellow?
No, that's just a joke. That's just a joke.
Yeah, and only twice one color. The rest
right,
of it
exactly.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. We have half the blues, but three times the... Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
However, it's also eight times more expensive.
Right.
You know, because it's brand new technology. It uses lasers instead of LCDs or plasma or...
And it's gorgeous. Other. And it also is 3D ready.
Yeah. But you've actually seen it.
Yes, I have.
And it's pretty
beautiful.
Awesome.
It's, you know, when I first read about it, I thought I wanted one, and then I saw one and I knew I wanted one. So still want one. Not going to buy one anytime soon. don't have $7,000 laying around to spend on it. But it is a very impressive television. It's not a flat panel.
No.
So it's not going to, you're not going to mount that on your wall unless you have a real load bearing wall right there. But, it's definitely an impressive television.
Yep. Well, I guess that I don't have any more TVs.
Yeah, the only thing I could talk about is burn-in, but that's not even an issue anymore. So
yeah, oh yeah, plasma used to have a big problem with burn-in.
Yeah, that used to be a big issue. Used to, if you had, let's say that you're a video gamer and you would put a game on pause for 8 hours where you go sleep and then you come back and play some more. With plasma, if those colors were sitting there on the screen for that long, you would see, like when you'd start the game, you'd see that there was a ghost image of whatever it was that was paused for those 8 hours. And mm-hmm. sometimes that ghost image wouldn't go away. It was burnt into the screen for pretty much ever and ever. LCD didn't really have that problem as much as it almost, didn't exist. Mm-hmm. But, that's pretty much been solved too. So you don't get too many issues with plasma burn-in unless you're just being really extreme. Like you pause your video game and then you go on vacation for a couple of weeks, then you might have a problem. But you know, that's again, that's an extreme case.
And that would be certainly not a good way to conserve electricity.
No, that would not be very eco-conscious of you. Nope. I mean, I would never do that, but Paulette, I wouldn't put it past him. So anyway, well, you know what? I've got something else we can talk about, but before we get to it,
yes.
I think we need to thank
our sponsor.
Yes. Audible.com.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to www.audiblepodcast.com/techstuff and sign up, you'll get a free download. And they've got 50,000 books on audio as well as podcasts and other products as well. And if you're like me and you listen to lots of stuff on the train, it's a great, great resource. And we have a couple of picks that we'd like to talk about, something that we could recommend as potentially your first free download.
My choice would be Stuck in the Box, A Life in Local TV News. If you're like me, you're a TV junkie. A TV news junkie. I actually did an internship in a TV newsroom when I was in college. And this is by Donna McNeely, who is a former anchor, reporter, producer, and writer. She even narrates it herself, and it's gotten excellent reviews. Only one 5-star review on Audible, but I looked up the book just to see how everybody else feels about it, and it's got excellent reviews everywhere. So I would definitely check that out.
Wonderful. Yeah, my suggestion also comes from something that I had a huge passion in when I was a kid and I was watching TV. Actually, one of my heroes, I would say. And the book is It's Not Easy Being Green and Other Things to Consider by Jim Henson, The Muppets, and Friends. And I was a huge Jim Henson fan as a kid.
I am a huge
Jim Henson fan. Also come from a family of storytellers and puppeteers, so that kind of helps too. But anyway, this book is about the man, Jim Henson. It's kind of about his philosophy and his views. And I recommend that one. I want it. Either of those or any of 50,000 others could be your first free download if you sign up at www.audiblepodcast.com/techstuff. Okay, so let's get back to my favorite segment. I'm sure it's yours as well.
Uh-oh.
Listener mail.
Oh, that's loud.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to alert them.
It's early yet.
This is true. So this listener mail comes from our listener, Jamie McCarty. Jamie actually has a correction for us, which we appreciate. Jamie was very polite and was also praising us quite a bit in this email, but I'm going to skip right to the correction. This is about our podcast where we talked about games with GPS receivers. GPS receivers do not transmit any information back to the satellites. The power required to transmit back to the satellites would be way too much for such small devices. Actually, the device is simply receiving encoded timestamps and up-to-date satellite constellation coordinates that provide enough information for the receiver to calculate its position. While it's possible to send out positional information, it requires a cellular, radio waves, or satellite modems, and I guess now Wi-Fi, which only the most sophisticated devices have. Thanks, Jamie. That's true. Unless it has one of those devices, it's not going to send out any signals. It's just acting as a receiver. Otherwise, it would be a GPS transceiver.
Yep. So it's basically coordinating the signals it receives and figuring out where you are based on that information.
So yeah, just getting bombarded by signals all the time.
Yep.
As long as you're someplace where there's an open area to the sky.
Aren't we all?
Yes, yes. So thanks very much, Jamie. We greatly appreciate that. And if you would like to write to us, you can do so at techstuff@howstuffworks.com. And if you want to learn more about LCDs and plasmas, we have plenty of information on the website. That's howstuffworks.com. And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.